us. Psalm 24, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the King and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. In Psalm 2, verse 6, we read, Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. And as we think there of the Lord Jesus Christ, it brings us comfort that he is there tonight. He's head and King of the church. He sits on the throne. We know in light of Acts chapter 7, he stands to welcome his people home. But otherwise, he sits on the throne, reigning over all, but then particularly over the church. King Jesus was appointed, designated to the office of King from all eternity, proclaimed King here upon earth, and solemnly installed at his ascension. The apostle wrote in Hebrews 1 verse 3, Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And there he is. What a wonderful sight there is in heaven at this very moment. Such praise is being offered unto him. So many in heaven, a multitude which no man can number. Such joy, such praise is being offered, all to have an insight. But what a privilege we who love the Lord, one day we shall be there, and we shall join in, there in heaven itself. But we can tonight join in here below. We look to him, we rejoice in him, we praise him, and we bring our prayers to the Father through his name. What a comfort that is, that he is on the throne this evening hour. And as we look out on this nation, what things we have witnessed in these last few months and weeks. We look out on this nation which is in darkness, on a parliament in division, and on a church which has suffered. We look out on these things, and there's much to discourage. Let's look beyond the clouds. Look up by faith and take comfort. We have a victorious King who is building his church, who will bring us all through to victory. He is the victorious one, as we note in verse 8. And therefore, the growth of the church is secured through his finished work here upon earth, but also through his prevailing intercession. His intercession for us prevails. That's a great comfort, isn't it? Remember what he said to Peter here upon earth. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted or restored, you see there, his intercession would prevail, and his intercession prevails tonight. We are in need at times. His intercession prevails, so mercy is granted and deliverance will come. We look at the church. It seems so small in this country, yet his intercession prevails, and so the church will continue to grow. What a comfort to know he's on the throne and the growth of the church is secured. Now we have a number of psalms in this point of the Psalter which are so full of Christ. That well-known psalm, Psalm 22, where we behold chiefly the sufferings of Christ in his humiliation. Yet we are also to consider, there in that psalm, in verses 9 and 10, his incarnation and those early days of his life here upon earth. But then thirdly, looking beyond his sufferings, we consider his exaltation, wherein not only would he sing and lead the praise, but he would see the increase of his church. So that's Psalm 22, and there's so much there for us. Psalm 23, familiar psalm, represented again with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. And what a blessing to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. How many sing those words at a funeral and do not know Christ? What a blessing. He's our shepherd. And we trace his shepherding in that psalm, his tender care, how he will lead us to the green pastures and cause us to lie down, left to ourselves. We will not benefit in the green pastures, but he causes us to lie down in them that we might find rest and refreshment. But also he shepherds us through the valleys. He will lead us throughout our lives and receive us home. And our resolve is to worship him here upon earth, but also we look forward to being with him in glory above. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in Psalm 22 we behold his sufferings and his humiliation, his incarnation. And it's amazing, in his sufferings he looks back to his incarnation, but then also his exaltation. Coming over to Psalm 23, we behold his shepherding of the flock. Well, we come tonight briefly to Psalm 24, and we consider Christ again in this psalm, and particularly the exalted one who was victorious in the battle here upon earth, and who ascended up, making his approach unto heaven. You know, the disciples, they were looking up, gazing into heaven. The cloud came and took our Lord. Well, here in this psalm, we're given an insight to what had happened beyond the cloud, beyond what those apostles saw, and the approach of Christ to heaven, and then the receiving of Christ into the eternal abode. Well, here in this psalm, Christ is known as the King of Glory. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, Christ is referred to as the Lord of Glory. Well, here in Psalm 24, he is referred to as the King of Glory. Without any shadow of doubt, we see Christ here in this psalm. Now, the psalm was probably penned either when David brought the ark to Jerusalem or when Solomon brought the ark to the temple. These were prepared, the approach of the ark. But we are given here an insight of the approach of Christ to heaven. What a wonderful thought this is. And then the receiving of him into that wonderful place. That's the context here. Come to verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Here is a summons to heaven to receive its King. The King was coming. Many years ago, a certain king came to the Houses of Parliament, and people were not pleased. But here we see the joy in receiving the King as he came in. And as we come to this psalm, we note in the third verse these words, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" Now just going back to the time this psalm was penned, we could firstly consider Mount Zion, the holy hill, remembering also that Mount Moriah was where God's sanctuary was founded, where his special presence was known. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who could go there? But then secondly, we consider the church. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who can? But those covered by the precious blood of Jesus. They are accepted, and their prayers are heard. And that's a comfort tonight, isn't it? We're covered by the precious blood of Jesus. And though we feel the poverty of our prayers at times, and the weakness of our prayers are heard. Because of the King, we can draw near. So we can think of the church. But then ultimately, heaven itself. In Hebrews 11 verse 10 we read, "For he," that is Abraham, "looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." We who love the Lord, we long to be in that better country. That place where Christ ascended up to. That place where Christ at this very moment sits on the throne. So ultimately in verse 3, we consider heaven itself. Yes, we could think of Zion. And then we could think of the church. But then we're led to heaven itself. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who's going to heaven? Well, the simple answer, those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, having believed in him. For he is the forerunner. The followers of King Jesus will ascend into the hill of the Lord. He's the forerunner. The apostle wrote in Hebrews 6 verse 20, "Whether the forerunner is entered for, is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." He's the forerunner. He's gone before. He's gone to prepare a place for us. If he had not gone on before, heaven would not be ready, because Jesus would not be there to welcome us in. He's gone on before to appear in heaven for us. That's so amazing, isn't it? He's appearing in heaven for us, and he's making intercession. As we've seen in Psalm 23, we go through valleys, we go through trials, yet we have a friend in the court of heaven who's there at this very moment making intercession. He ever liveth to make intercession. We think of eternity to come. He will always be making intercession, that our joy would be so full forever and ever. But take comfort tonight. He's there now. And he's been there throughout this whole day. He will be there throughout the night and on the morrow to make intercession for me and you. Therefore, we can with confidence tonight draw near to God in prayer. We have a friend in the court of heaven. Through him our prayers are heard. Through him there is access. Well, we've noted that in verse 3. Well, we come to verse 7. Here's the summons, the call to heaven to receive its King. What a moment it was when Christ came to the entrance of heaven. And in he went. See what an insight we're given here. It was veiled from the disciples as they were looking up, but we're given a little glimpse here in Psalm 24. He entered in. What do we read in verse 9? "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." He retained his human nature. He retained his body. He went in. Heaven is a physical place. There is Christ, and he retained his body. He went in. What a thought that is. Christ is in heaven now. We look out on this nation. What things we have witnessed. We look out on the church in this nation. Yet our King is there in heaven. His immediate presence is known, but also he is known in such gatherings as this, where two or three are gathered. And he made plain, as we see in Hebrews 2, verse 12, he would offer praise. He himself is to be praised, but he makes plain that he leads the praise in his cause. We have a risen, glorious King. Now just in closing, note verse 8. These amazing words. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He's the King of glory. This wonderful description given to Christ. The word glory speaks of weight, splendor, honor. He's so honorable, isn't he? Psalm 21, there's another psalm, full of Christ. He wears the crown of purest gold. And what do we read in Psalm 21, verse 5? His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty thou hast laid upon him. As a reward we could consider for his sufferings, clothed in glories. So glorious. So glorious is our King. We will be amazed at the first glimpse of our King when we leave this world at death. Our glorious Redeemer, he's the King of glory. Such honor is bestowed on him. Consider firstly his divine excellencies. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They were given a glimpse of the glory of the Lord. Just a glimpse, just enough to so comfort them. He's the King of glory. Secondly, as the Son, he is the brightness of his Father's glory, the express image of his person. Hebrews 1 verse 3. But then thirdly, as we consider the glory of the King, glory was manifested in his sufferings and in his exhortations. Hebrews 2 verse 9, where the Apostle Paul looks back to Hebrews, rather to Psalm 8. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For he is the King of glory, and he has been solemnly installed. He has been crowned King. Now I wasn't there to witness it, but one or two of you may have seen the coronation of the Queen. All the pomp and the ceremony. But all that's in the shadow to the crowning of Christ and the glory surrounding Christ at this very moment. Who is this King of glory? Are we not thankful? We know the King of glory. Many in this nation do not know him. But we come to one we know tonight. Our Heavenly Father, the Comforter who so loves us, our glorious King. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Now just consider the context here. The Lord is ascending up. He's approaching heaven. The summons is given to heaven. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. A victorious King was coming to heaven. One who had fought in the battle. So many in recent years missed this. More understood it years ago, but here in verse 8 we are particularly led to Calvary. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He's going up triumphantly, having fought and won in the battle. Here upon the earth the Lord faced a great battle. Firstly, there was a battle with Satan. What a bruising attack was made upon our Lord to go to the temptations. Oh, how Satan so bruised our Lord. But then, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what a bruising attack. And then upon the cross, he faced a battle with Satan. What a foe Satan is. We're not ignorant of his devices, are we? He's a strong one. We're thankful he's limited. But he's strong. But Christ was the stronger one. And he fought that battle. And he held his ground. As we see here in verse 8. And he came forth victoriously. Are we not thankful that Christ held his ground? As we think of the activity of Satan today. The whispers. How he continues to prompt the blindness, as John Brown of Haddington puts it. Are we not thankful for a victorious King who is able to save, and Satan cannot stop him? He faced a battle with Satan, secondly with sin. Sin is no true friend. It brought great harm. Death came into the world because of sin. Jesus had to face a battle with sin and death. But he came forth victoriously. He did it all. He satisfied divine justice. He paid the price in full. He could cry, "It is finished." What a battle he fought. Yet here we see again, he came forth victorious. And they were singing his praise. The mighty Redeemer. Worthy is the Lamb that is slain, as we come to verse 8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in the battle. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He's our mighty King. Consider that great battle he fought. Only one that was mighty could prevail. You recall those titles or names given to Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. A reference that Jesus is God there. The Mighty God. The one strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The help we needed was laid on one that was so strong. And so the psalmist said in Psalm 89 verse 19, "Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people." The Father laid the help we needed on one that was mighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the help we needed in redemption, including all the help we needed in life, all the help we needed today, all the help we need till we see Jesus, all the help we need in the valley, was laid on one that was mighty. Are we not thankful that our Saviour is the Almighty One, the victorious One? He's done it all, and so he has opened the way to heaven. He's gone as the forerunner. Who is this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle? Who is this King of glory? We respond. And we respond in front of the whole world and this nation. It's our King. But then we can say a little further. He's my King. We come collectively tonight and we rejoice in our King. On our own in the homes, we can rejoice in our personal King. Who is this King of glory? So splendid, so glorious, so mighty, yet he's our King. These are challenging days. Let's not forget we have a glorious King who leads us forth, who encompasses all around us as well, who defends us. He is a King who writes prosperously A king who will bring us through to victory. Victory is in sight because of the king who sits on the throne. And our prayers are not wasted tonight. We look up to the king by way of faith. We pray to the king that he would build his church, and he will answer that prayer. He will bring us through to victory. It seems like the church is on decline in this nation. The king will raise the church up. He is a king who bows down his ear to hear his people. He's in glory. He's so praised tonight. He's surrounded by many, yet he takes time to listen to each prayer. It's a wonderful truth, isn't it? You know, there's so many giving him praise tonight and in our lives. There's so many who pray each day. The Lord takes an interest in your prayer. Humbly offered, with faith in the soul, he takes an interest in my prayer. We tonight have the ear of the King of Kings. I've never met the Queen. A number of years ago when she was in Salisbury, I was just around the corner, but I didn't have enough money for the parking meter, so I went home. I've never met the King. She's never listened to me. The King of Kings listens to me every day. The King of Kings is listening tonight. Oh, for high thoughts of what we're doing tonight. We're approaching the Lord, our triune God. We're approaching the King. He's lifted the scepter. And he delights to hear us. He says in the Song of Solomon, let me hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice. For thy voice is sweet and thy countenance is comely. You're covered by my righteousness. Therefore you can pray and your prayer is heard. And I love to hear you pray. I want to hear you pray, whether individually in your home, or when one leads in a prayer meeting, one mouth speaking for others, you make it your prayer, because he delights to hear your voice. I feel my prayers are so short at times, so weak, so full of poverty, yet he delights to hear our prayers. Did you know those words we sang in Psalm 20, verse 9? Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. We pray particularly to the Father, yes, we pray to our triune God. But particularly we say our Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus, as the psalmist knew well, that through the King, his prayers were heard. King David bowed his heart to the King. Let the King hear us when we call. Let the King of Glory, who is being so praised at this moment by millions and millions, hear our prayers tonight and answer them. Present them to the Father. Let the King hear us. And we're praying that he would bow down his ear in a gracious way. And that then, having heard our prayer, he would present our cause to the Father. We have the ear of none other than the King of Glory this night. The one who made his approach to heaven. The one who entered in. The one who's on the throne. We have the ear of the King. He's in glory tonight. But in a special and spiritual way, he's here. I believe it was John Rabbi Duncan speaking, we ought to have this care. This fear and this care, because the King walks in the midst of the candlesticks to inspect. He is here. Hebrews 2 verse 12, he leads the song. In your own time, read what Spurgeon said on that. So helpful. He leads the song. I've enjoyed so often listening to Jesus in the singing here. He leads the song, and he hears the prayers. These are challenging days, but let us tonight look up. We have a glorious King who is taking us forward to victory and to heaven. We're so blessed to have this King, the glorious Saviour. As we pray tonight and we bring the concerns of our hearts to Him, let's rejoice in Him. We read in Psalm 149, verse 2, let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. As we pray tonight, let's be focused on Jesus. And let's rejoice in our King. Amen. Well, we'll come straight to